Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views, and happy holidays. North Carolina's economy is at best a mixed bag these days. The unemployment rate has dropped significantly since the recession ended, but many people have given up looking for work and are no longer counted when the rate is calculated. Urban areas are doing well, while many rural areas of the state are struggling, and it's true not just in North Carolina, but throughout the South. We talked earlier this fall with David Dodson with the economic development nonprofit MDC about the group's recent report on the state of the South and economic mobility. Well, David, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
I want to ask you about a lot of the specific findings in the latest version of the State of the South, but give us a little context to understand what this report is about, what the goals are, and why you produce it.
Well, MDC is a private nonprofit. We're based in Durham, and our focus is to elevate issues and opportunities and help the South make progress on issues related to poverty, equity, and opportunity, particularly for people in places who aren't experiencing the well-being that a lot of us enjoy. So the State of the South is a periodic publication. It's our signature MDC publication, and it's designed to lift up issues that Southern leaders in all sectors need to pay attention to if this is going to be a region that works well for everyone. And that really is our purpose. How can the South be a place that works well for everyone? And so this particular issue looked at the very, frankly, disturbing data about economic mobility, the ability of people born poor from the American dream to achieve the American dream. And we found that it didn't look too good, but that there are people in communities around the South who are working to make patterns of opportunity stronger. So in a nutshell, that's what we're all about and what this report is trying to illuminate.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of the findings. I know that you do cite some of the rankings about how North Carolina and some cities in North Carolina are doing very well. But you don't hear as much about the issues that you just raised, about economic mobility, inequality. Why do you think that those issues aren't lifted up as often as they should be?
Well, they're a little disturbing to lift up. We've got a lot of good news in North Carolina and in the South. As you mentioned, by the Forbes listings of places that are best for business, many of our communities, Raleigh, number one in a recent ranking, Charlotte up in the top 10, we look very good as places to do business, places that are growing, adding population. People don't often like to call attention to the unfinished business, or if you could call it the shadow side of success, but that's what we have across the South, particularly in our dynamic cities, a two-tiered reality. There is growth. There is growth in jobs. There's growth in income. But we also have what we're calling a bystander economy. That is, there are too many people, many of whom have grown up in our communities, who haven't benefited and been connected to the opportunity that our communities are generating. So you've got this paradox. High growth, high opportunity cities with very low mobility for large numbers of people. So the tale of two cities, two Raleighs, two Durhams, two Charlottes, two Atlantas, is unfortunately the state of the South today.
It seems like if there is a consensus among our political leaders these days is that education is important and we need to invest, at least rhetorically they make these points, invest in education, and that's one of the key factors in helping people lift themselves out of poverty. And yet, as the report details, it looks like the folks in the South who are making decisions aren't following through with those investments.
Well, we did generate some data. All these are from public sources, and we show that K through 12 spending between the fiscal years of 2008 and 2014 on a per capita basis declined precipitously in many southern states and absolutely in all southern states. The same was true in many of the states. North Carolina is squeaks by as a small exception, Texas as well, in terms of higher education per capita investment expenditure, in terms of real dollars. So you're right. The rhetoric is that education begets opportunity and success. but there appears to be, from the data, a progressive disinvestment in education at the K-12 level and also in higher education. And Chris, this is really important because another important finding in State of the South shows, based on data from the Pew Charitable Trusts that does extensive mobility analysis, that for children born to parents in the bottom 10% of the income distribution, parents who earned $16,000 a year or less, that the effect of earning a post-secondary credential for children born poor is electric in terms of promoting upward mobility. In other words, if you want to free children born poor from the shackles of poverty, the very best thing you can do is to ensure that those children get a post-secondary credential. And yet, we've seen in these numbers that the investment to make possible those pathways to educational attainment is actually shrinking. So I'm not sure that our rhetoric and our behavior when it comes to investing in the things that there's public consensus about being critical, I'm not sure that rhetoric and reality are meeting here. And, you know, our data, and it's not only ours, show conclusively that post-secondary attainment is key to upward mobility. There are other things that matter, but without a post-secondary credential, young people born poor are much more likely to stay poor than affluent children.
And the old problems of race and class also show up in terms of additional barriers and struggles, whether it's dropping out of school or incarceration. We still have a long ways to go.
We've got a long way to go. And here again, if we look at who the South is becoming, the demography of the South is becoming browner and blacker. And populations of color are the precise populations who have not experienced educational and post-secondary and economic success. So we appear to have patterns of disinvestment at precisely the time that the population is developing demographically and becoming more composed of people who need education even more to be able to succeed. So again, you know, you said at the beginning, we have prosperity in many places. It's masking some deep underlying flaws in our means of investing for future sustainability. We don't appear to be doing the things that are necessary to address intergenerational poverty and to promote greater access to the American dream. And ultimately, we believe that becomes corrosive. When you have large numbers of people who are bystanders to prosperity, that doesn't lead to harmonious, shall we say, civic and social conditions. We found this alarm for a number of reasons. Self-interest: we ought to have talented people who are able to be productive, and we don't look like we're laying the foundations for that. And we don't look like we're laying the foundations for a harmonious civic and social order if we're not doing things to address this deep economic divide that exists, even in our most prosperous places.
Well, David, thank you very much for the report and these great comments, and thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your interest.
Up next, how helping workers helps the economy. Stay tuned.